Well, good morning, church family. It is April 12th. It is Easter Sunday. Happy Resurrection Day. He is not here. He is risen. Now, if this was a normal Easter, we would have been together for a sunrise service and a sunrise breakfast. I would have said the same scripture that I've been saying for decades. In that early morning service, Proverbs 8:17, do you remember it? I know some of you do. When God says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. I say that every year, and I'm sure many of you remember that. But yeah, we're not in church for an early sunrise service. We're not together for a sunrise breakfast. Who would have thought we'd be spending Easter 2020 in celebrating it in the comfort of our own homes? And so, yeah, I remember last week's message. I talked about the first Passover and how they celebrated it in their homes and how much more significance this Passover and this Easter has for us is that we can relate to that context so much more, at least I can. But the Passover began actually for us on Wednesday night at sundown. Passover and all the Jewish holidays and feasts all start at sundown. The reason for that is in Genesis, when God instituted the foundations of the creation, and he said evening and morning were the first day. And so that's why it's celebrated at sundown, because days in the scripture start at night. And so, yeah, Passover started on sundown on the, I think I said the 7th, it was actually Wednesday the 8th. And so that as they celebrated that first Passover, as they were inside their homes, it was a Passover that they were celebrating the freedom from Egyptian slavery. But now we celebrate, we just celebrate the freedom of sin, death, and the grave. And so today we're going to be taking communion together, as we mentioned. We're going to do that at 11 a.m. And so that will be a completely separate message. It'll be actually on a video that you'll be able to go to the website, which you're on now, and you'll be able to click on a video that will be on a new tab that's up on the top. It's called Facebook Live. And so it's not in the sermon section. It will be in the section on the tab that says Facebook Live. So if you click on that, you'll see a video there. And so click on it right at 11 o'clock, and that way we'll be able to share and be all synced up together, and we can share this new covenant meal, this Passover Seder together as we celebrate Jesus' sacrifice, his resurrection, the forgiveness of our sins through his blood, and the healing of our bodies through his body. And so today I just want to stay on that theme that we started last week with the Passover. And again, the first Passover, as we go back and we think about that context that they were in, they were obedient to it. But I'm sure they were very skeptical on whether or not that this would be the thing that would set them free from slavery. Because if you remember, when Moses first came down to the people of Israel back in Egypt, and he announced that he had met with God, and God came to him, and he saw him in a burning bush, and said, I have a plan for my people to bring them out. And in Exodus 5, he goes back to Pharaoh, and he says, God says, I want you to let my people go. And Pharaoh says, I don't know your God, and I'm not letting them go. And so as a matter of fact, what happened was, is he said, your people who are making bricks and helping me build my kingdom, now they're going to have to gather their own straw, and I'm not going to minimize the brick quota, That's going to stay the same. And so because Moses came down into Egypt, can you imagine? These people are under slavery. They've been there for over 400 years, generation after generation. And now this guy Moses says, God spoke to me and he's going to set you free. And then there were 9 plagues. And of course they're skeptical. Nothing is touching Pharaoh. Nothing is breaking his will. These 9 plagues, nothing happens. Pharaoh won't budge. Thanks a lot, Moses. You know, hey, we had it bad. You came down here. You say you talked to God and God talked to you, and now we have it even worse. And so now Moses says, no, this is the last one. God said, this last plague, we've had 9 plagues, but this last plague, God said, Pharaoh's going to let us go. And so they were skeptical. But just like God had told Moses, after this last plague, Pharaoh let him go. And it was the killing of the firstborn that set him free. You know, that still happens today. The killing of the firstborn sets people free. And who's that firstborn? It's Jesus, the only begotten of the Father, the firstborn among many brethren. It's Jesus who died on that cross that still sets men free. The firstborn, the killing of the firstborn that sets us free from slavery. And so they were skeptical. But they saw that God had a plan, and now they have victory. Now they see light at the end of the tunnel. Now they have hope. Now they're fired up, and they're walking out of Egypt with their freedom. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're doing, but they're headed out. And then an interesting thing happened in Exodus 14. Now they're making their way to the Red Sea, and now Pharaoh decides and changes his mind. He says, I'm going to pursue them and get them back, or even kill them. And I can remember growing up, and I'm sure many of you guys can too, watching this movie, The Ten Commandments, with Charlton Heston. I can still see it. I can still see those images as a young boy when I would watch that, and I could see God etching out the Ten Commandments with the fire. How many of you can see it, right? And I can still see that golden calf. I can still see the Red Sea, Moses standing in front of the Red Sea and the wind blowing and him raising that staff. I can still see all that. But that was a reality. That happened. Okay, so Pharaoh's now coming after the people of God, and he comes to the Red Sea, and the people of God are already walking through it. God parted the water supernaturally. And then once they all got through it, and now Egypt's army is chasing them, now the waters come back and demolish and kill the entire Egyptian army. That, like, the superpower of that day. Gone in a moment. And now, not only are they free from Pharaoh, but now they're even separated by a sea, like logistically, geographically, right? Like he can't come after them anymore. They're separated by this sea. And so in Exodus 15, they sing this incredible song of their freedom. And so the reason I wanted to go back and just talk about that for a second is because as the Passover was instituted as an annual memorial, it was permanently etched into the fabric and just the ethos of the nation. I mean, can you imagine? Every year you gather to relive and retell the story of this event as a nation, as a people, as a family. And so they would regather every Passover to tell the story. I mean, this is who you are as a person. This is who you are as a nation. This is, like, literally who you are as a people group. And so on that night, one of the customs was at the Passover Seder. And again, we're going to be taking communion shortly, and so we're living in they built this foundation, and we're just following in the fulfillment of it. But back then, what they would do is the youngest would ask 4 questions, and he would say, "Why is this night different than all other nights? Why is the Passover different? What makes it special?" And so they would ask 4 questions. On all nights, we don't even dip into into the bitter herb, the bitter herbs into salt water. But tonight, why do we do it twice? Is the question. On all other nights, we eat leavened bread or we can eat matzah, but on this night, we only eat matzah. Third question. On all other nights, we can eat all kind of vegetables, but on this night, we only eat bitter vegetables. The youngest child is asking this of the parents and the father as they lead this Passover Seder, etched into the fabric of a nation. Question number four. On all nights, we can eat sitting up or reclining, Dad. Why on this night do we recline? And so as the child would ask these questions, they would relive the story. Question number one. On all nights, we don't even dip. Why do we dip twice this night? And the father would respond and say, the salt water that we dip into, it's there because it represents the tears we cried in Egypt. And then the bitter herbs that we dip, it reminds us of the bitterness that we had and the hard times we had with the cement that we used to create bricks in Egypt. And then question number two, on all at nights we eat leavened bread or we eat matzah. Why tonight do we only eat matzah, Dad? Because matzah is the bread of slaves, son. It's the bread of the poor. Not only that, matzah also commemorates the fact that the bread didn't have time to rise, son. We had to get out of there quick, and our people had to get out, and so the bread didn't have time to rise, and we left hastily out of Egypt. And the children would listen, and their eyes would be wide open as they just absorbed this story of generation after generation. Question number three, Dad, on all nights we eat all kinds of vegetables. Why on this night do we only eat bitter herbs? Because it reminds us of the hardness and the slavery that we had in Egypt. And then question number four, on all nights we can eat sitting up or laying down, Dad. On this night, why do we recline? Why do we lay down? Because, son, on this night we were set free. And we recline on the cushions like we're royalty. We rest in God. And so again, this is etched into the fabric of a nation. You have to try and understand this as we go forward. To realize that when Jesus is about to sit in front of his disciples and take the Passover Seder with them, this is what they're thinking. This is who they are. And Jesus had celebrated the Passover with them twice before. This is the third Passover he's celebrating with them. But the two previous, it was business as usual. Nothing different. But tonight, it's different. Tonight is going to be different for them because Jesus is about to rock their world. In Matthew 26, Jesus, this is the account where Jesus is having the Passover Seder with them. And just like they had done for generation after generation after generation after generation. You see, I'm trying to get you into the context here. These guys are just doing what they've always done all their lives and what their people have done for generation after generation. And now Jesus says these words. It's in Matthew 26, starting with verse 26. And it says, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread. Okay, that's what they always did. And after a blessing. And blessing, let me just say, he blessed. The word is eulogio, speak well of. I always say this, and I always teach this. Jesus wasn't praying for the food. He was giving thanks to the Father for the food. He wasn't blessing it like saying if there's anything wrong with this bread and if there's anything that will harm us, take it away. He was saying, Father, thank you for the provision of bread. So after he blessed, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. No difference. And then he says these words, take and eat. This is my body. What? No, Jesus, what are you talking about? That's not a part of the Passover Seder. What do you mean, my body? And then verse 27, and when he had taken the cup, okay? Yeah, this is what we always do. There's four cups, and he's on the third cup now. And when he had given thanks, again, he gave thanks for the for the vine and for the fruit of the vine. And he gave it to them and he said, drink it, all of you. Well, that's what they always do. Nothing new here. But then in verse 28, he says, for this is my blood. What? What are you talking about, Jesus? My blood? This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. What is he talking about? And they're so confused. They don't know what he means. What are you talking about, Jesus? This is about Passover. This is about the lamb's blood that our people put on the doorposts and the lintel of their house. This is about slavery in Egypt and how we got set free. And Jesus looks at him. He's like, no, guys, I'm the lamb tonight. All that was a foreshadow. All that was typology. All that, it was real, but it all pointed to this time in history. I'm the lamb tonight, my brothers. You remember when John the Baptist, he came 3 years earlier and he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. This is it. This is the new covenant getting initiated. And those disciples did not have a clue what he was talking about. Right? Just like the first Passover. Let's go back. They were skeptical. They didn't know if this was going to happen. They didn't know if they were going to get out of Egypt. But sure enough, they were set free. And the disciples would leave from this Passover Seder confused as well, skeptical, defeated, bewildered. They didn't know what was going to happen. They were confused. They didn't understand. But in 3 days, their world would be changed. You see, the women would come to them back from the tomb, and they would be announcing the resurrection, and all the disciples thought that they were crazy. They thought they were nuts. They thought they saw a ghost. What are you girls talking about? But they would soon find out that the grave and death could not hold a spotless, sinless lamb. Thank you, Father. Their sin was paid for. Death no longer had authority over them. Just like Jesus, they too would get a resurrection body, and they would live forever with that body. The resurrection has happened. The resurrection, just like they were thankful for back then, is the same resurrection today. It's not an event, it's a person. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. And he who believes on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. This is what was promised in all the prophets. I'm thinking of on the road to Emmaus when the disciples were walking along and Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, starts walking with them. And he says, hey guys, what are you talking about? And they look at him and they're like, are you the only one in Jerusalem and in Israel that doesn't know what happened? He says, no, tell me about it. And so they start recounting about this man Jesus who said he was the Messiah and that he was the one that was promised in the prophets. And then Jesus said, yeah, come on, tell me about it. And then all of a sudden, their eyes were opened. And Jesus started, the scripture says, he opened up the law, the prophets, and the Psalms, and revealed to them all that God would fulfill concerning himself in the scriptures. I am the resurrection and the life. Today, he's right there with you. When we take communion together, we're not memorializing something that happened a long time ago. We are reliving the active covenant that we are in with the Lord Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of the Father right now. He has all authority and power in heaven and in earth, and we are his people. Thank you, Father. And so that is Resurrection Day. Happy Resurrection Day, everyone. And so to close this time together, before we take communion at 11, I just want to read one of the prophets who wrote of this event that would happen. And look how clear it is. It wasn't clear back then, but it's clear now. Isaiah 53. It's very familiar to a lot of you. Verse 1. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he will grow up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He'll have no appearance or form or majesty that we should be attracted to him, or anything in his appearance that we should be drawn to him. But he was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. But surely our griefs he bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. But all we like sheep have gone astray, each one to our own way. But the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, but he didn't open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, like a sheep that doesn't open his mouth, he was silent. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and for his generation, who considered that he would be cut off from the land of the living? And for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? His grave was assigned with the wicked, yet with a rich man in his death. But he has done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But it pleased the Lord to bruise him and to put him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he would see his offspring and he would prolong his days. And the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand, and as a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. And by his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, he will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. Wow. It can't get any clearer than that. Now as we look back, have you taken God up on his offer of salvation through his Son? Have you beholden the Lamb of God who took away your sins? Have you taken his blood and put it on your heart so that when death comes, that won't have any hold on you? You see, when the Bible talks about a peace of God that passes all understanding, that's where it comes from. Not my righteousness, but Jesus' righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin that I might become the righteousness of God. And God accounts to our account the righteousness of Christ because of this incredible gift that he gave to us. And so if you haven't done that, why don't you just pray this prayer with me? Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you for the Passover. Thank you for what it meant to the Jewish people, but thank you for the fulfillment of it in Christ. I admit that I am a slave to sin. I need Jesus' blood to set me free. And so I just ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to forgive me of all my wrong. I ask you to apply the blood of Jesus to my account. I ask you, Lord, to fill me with your Holy Spirit. I ask you to make me one of your children so that I can walk with you and so that I can serve you and so that I can tell others about your great gift of love. I ask, Father, that you would use me for your honor and glory, and let this be the resurrection day when I become a new creation, born again, born of God, born of the Spirit. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. So if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, the blood of Jesus is now yours. You are now one who has apprehended the new covenant. Today is your first resurrection day. And for those of us who have already done it, we celebrate with you as we celebrate our salvation in Christ today. And so thank you everyone for listening. We just thank God for this wonderful day we can just remember what he's done for us and every day forward as well. All right, I'll see those of you on the video shortly at 11 a.m., and we'll celebrate communion together. Have a great day with your family and a wonderful week in the Lord. God bless you, and have a great day.